This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
We're on a Tuesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Dryad, where today is actually a Tar Heel basketball game day. It's live action, Tracy!
It's live action, Tracy.
So that's where we'll begin. Sure, it's just preseason, but this is the Hoop State, and Hubert Davis said he's approaching tonight as if it's the real thing. If you don't know already, North Carolina's visiting Penny Hardaway's Memphis Tigers. It's a 7 o'clock tip. It's on ESPNU. It's a charity game with proceeds going to St. Jude's Hospital. And here are three areas you should be keeping an eye on tonight. It starts with Jalen Washington at center. Replacing Armando Bacot is going to be no easy task. WD wasn't ready for that one.
Armando.
You're not sharp right out of the gate, Will.
Focused on the Yankee win last night, a little distracted.
That wasn't necessary. Jalen Washington, though, replacing Armando Bacot, in case you didn't hear.
Armando.
More specifically, it's going to be interesting how Jalen looks on the offensive side of the floor. How will he be as a shooter? How willing of a shooter will he be? What types of shots does he take? How many paint touches will there be? When you think about Carolina basketball, you've always in part thought about offensive glass and how you were doing when it comes to offensive rebound. It's hard to imagine a Carolina team not prioritizing the offensive glass, but given the personnel, this does not seem like a team that's going to be strong in that area. So that's going to be an adjustment. So Jalen Washington, that's the place that you start. Secondly, it'll be the debut of Carolina's 2 5-star freshmen, Ian Jackson and Drake Powell. This is the first time in 4 years that Carolina's had multiple 5-star players in the same class. The last time that happened, they had 3. It was Caleb Love, Walker Kessler, and De'Ron Sharp, while this 4-star recruit from New York named RJ Davis was overlooked just a little bit. This class was actually supposed to have 3 5-stars in it. It was supposed to be Ian Jackson, Drake Powell, and Elliot Cadeau, but Cadeau, of course, reclassed, arrived in Chapel Hill a year early. It's almost universally accepted that Jackson's going to be good, that Jackson's going to be a starter. They call him Captain Jack, that at some point Jackson will be in that lineup and he's probably going to be a first-round pick. But what about Drake Powell? He's the North Carolina native here. He's flying under the radar, it seems, a little bit. So interested to see what he looks like. It's going to be a fascinating watch how Drake Powell gets integrated. Lastly, the usage of Cade Tyson. This is an experienced player, brother of Hunter Tyson. When you talk to people that know the family, many felt that Cade Tyson was the more talented player. Shot 47% from 3 at Belmont last year, 54% on corner threes if you want to dig into the analytics and where he was most effective on the floor. If you're thinking about the ideal lineup for Carolina basketball, it's probably Cadeau at the point, RJ off ball, Ian Jackson. Maybe it's Seth Trimble right out of the gate, but eventually you'll get to the place where Ian Jackson's starting. Cade Tyson is a stretch 4 and Jalen Washington at the 5. But it'll be exciting to see what progress some of the returning players made to. Hubert has talked about Elliot Cadeau as if he's a different player. Looks like a different guy. We'll see what that looks like. Seth Trimble apparently was the best player in the blue-white scrimmage and had that highlight dunk. How much has his game improved? Great perimeter defender, but how much of a playmaker can he be? Jalen Withers, what's his role going to look like after he took the worst shot of the season last year against Alabama, but did have some high moments transferring in from Louisville? Those are the things we're watching for when North Carolina faces Memphis tonight. On X at WSJS Radio, if you want in. It's where we're streaming video. In addition to YouTube and Twitch, however, and wherever you are listening or watching, we greatly appreciate that. Will Dalton, he's the executive producer of this show. He's gloating about the Yankees. He's got his New York City shirt on. It says NYC.
Yes, I am.
Okay. His Tar Heels are playing tonight. You watched Coming to America. What was that screen situation last night?
More of a thinking man.
Because you wanted to talk about Bills Jets with me yesterday.
Yes.
So I'm picturing that you have the Yankees on the big screen and you're got, you know, the Jets Bills game somewhere else, and then you have third fiddle, one of the best comedies ever, maybe the best comedy of Eddie Murphy's career.
So I had the Yankees on the TV because, you know, with all due respect to Coming to America, you know, it's the Yankees. Now, I mean,
you could just not procrastinate and watch Coming to America.
Again.
Like, we ask you to watch a movie a week. We don't say it has to be Monday night.
Monday movie night.
But then, if you know the Yankees are playing, maybe watch Coming to America where it has your full undivided attention another night. So, like tonight or tomorrow or Thursday or Friday. I mean, take your pick. You don't have to wait till the last minute.
I mean, so I had the Yankees on the TV, but the sound off. I just wanted them to have the big screen. The laptop got Coming to America. That had the sound on. And then, you know, I checked into the Jets game from time to time. And then when I finished the movie, then I cut the Jets game on in full for the fourth quarter. There you go.
We'll see what you thought about it in just a bit.
Yes.
The voice of the Canes, the Carolina Hurricanes, are in action tonight. Mike Maniscalco. He's been texting me about your movie watching, so that will surely be a conversation when he joins us in just a bit. Shifting things to the Carolina Panthers. Does it feel like to anybody else that this Carolina Panthers season has been a waste so far? That the efforts have been for naught? That it doesn't feel like, at this point, Carolina is building towards something? When you have a new head coach, a new regime, you want to feel like you're building towards something. And through six games so far, what are the Panthers building towards exactly? The defense is not functional enough to win right now. We knew that after Chicago. If there was any doubt about that, there certainly isn't doubt about it after watching Carolina allow 38 to the Falcons. Third straight game, they've allowed at least 34 points, on pace to allow more points than any defense in NFL history, and you have all these injuries. It doesn't matter how well the offense plays. You're still not going to win because this defense is that bad. So with that in mind, why are they still playing Andy Dalton? Why? Well, Josh gives them their best chance to win, but you can't win with that defense. You're 1-5. You have a new coaching staff or a new head coach, a new GM, so many young players. Why? Why play Andy Dalton right now? Oh, Andy Dalton, he gives you the best chance to win right now. He also threw a pick when you're down 28-20 in the fourth quarter that pretty much put the game away. So is he really helping you all that much? And how much winning do you really want to do when you're in the current position that you're in? After the Vegas win, after looking functional offensively for a few weeks against Cincinnati and Atlanta, you could say two thumbs up, okay, we didn't want to punt on the season just a couple weeks into the year. It made sense to give Carolina a spark, but you have to go back to Bryce soon because clarity on Bryce, good or bad, that is the most important thing this season. Knowing with very little doubt what you have in him or what you don't have is the most important thing. You don't want any more questions about that after this season ended or after this season ends. So you got to get Bryce Young back out there. When does that happen? Bryce should return to the lineup no later than November the 2nd or 3rd, whenever that game is, against the New Orleans Saints. November the 3rd. That's a home game. It's after consecutive road games at Washington and at Denver. That would give Carolina nine times to see Bryce Young out there and get a good evaluation. Hopefully Taylor Moten's back and healthy by then. The line's healthy enough that he is supported and can do some things. But this Panther season, it feels like a waste so far because there's still lack of clarity there, and you can't really win with with the defense playing the way they are, and you got a veteran quarterback that you know isn't your future answer running things currently. So sometime soon, over the next 2 or 3 weeks, that's when you need to get Bryce Young back out there thinking about the future. Getting back to good teams. The Carolina Hurricanes, they're supposed to be that. Started the season in the last week. They're at home tonight against the Devils. But how sure are we that they're going to be good? This is what we'll discuss with the voice of the Canes, Mike Maniscalco, joining the show next on The Drive.
He was never voted most likely to succeed.
You're such a loser.
But then again, were you?
The very concept is unimaginable.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
My goals for this first guest of the day, this first interview of the day, to go better than Jerry Jones's interview this morning in Dallas. Hopefully there are no threats for radio hosts to be fired during this bit. We got Mike Maniscalco joining us. You know him, Bally Sports, the Carolina Hurricanes. Season is already underway. It opened with a 4-1 loss to Tampa on Friday night. They're at home against the New Jersey Devils before their annual extended road trip because of the North Carolina State Fair across the street. Mike Maniscalco, when's the last time you went to the State Fair?
Oh, let's say about 10 years ago. Yeah, that's about right. I used to live like I could walk to the fair from my house. And there were often days where I had to because of the traffic situation. So, yeah, been a while. So I don't need to eat anything that's, I mean, they fry everything. I don't need more of that in my life. I eat enough on my own.
Let's talk some pucks. After the roster subtractions we saw in the offseason, Rod Brindamore said it's likely going to lead to some of the high-dollar players picking up a heavier load. He even said there's a chance, rather than rolling two power play lines, there might be times that you run one power play unit like a lot of teams in the league do. Mike, whose role specifically do you think could change the most from last year?
Marty Natchez, because here's a guy who's going to be on the number one power play unit from the jump. We've already seen it in the limited preseason action that they had. But in game one, he's the guy who you're going to take a look at and get your top 6 minutes, whatever you want to call it. He's going to get your power play minutes. He's going to be the guy who I take a look at, and his role has definitely changed the most because now he is counted on to be a scorer. Now, where it's nice if he adds goals or points, now he's counted on to be a guy.
Piotr Kochetkov gets the start tonight between the pipes. Given the different stages he and Freddie Anderson are in their careers, has your view of that goaltending dynamic changed at all from last year?
Yeah, a little bit, because I think this year you want to find out if Piotr Kochetkov is the number one, because Freddie Anderson's on the last year of his deal. So you need to find out what you're going to have to do with the goaltender spot next year. I mean, remember, it's the weirdest thing ever. We're always focused on the here and now, but organizations also have to take a look ahead to what's coming up. So in this situation, I just think that you give the reins to Piotr Kochetkov and find out if he's the number one guy. Now, that doesn't mean you don't play Freddie Anderson 40 games. I mean, if you get in a goalie rotation, which is what this organization has done pretty much every year since Rod Brindamore is taken over as head coach, there's been a few of them we're going to ride the hot hand moments in the past, but for the most part, they've had a goalie rotation and it works for this team. But I think that's one where it's changed. I think last year you come into the season, yes, you have Antti Raanta, and they wanted to give Piotr Kochetkov a lot of games. The AHL situation made that impossible when the Canes didn't have a team. I think this year you come into this season with Freddie Anderson is your 1B, Piotr Kochetkov is your 1A. So that's why I didn't read anything into Frederick Anderson getting the start Friday night at home against Tampa, because they were playing a back-to-back. Kochetkov was going to more than likely play Saturday in Tampa if the game was not postponed. And again, all of our thoughts are with everybody in Western Carolina with the after effects of Hurricane Helene. And then, of course, Florida, that got hit twice with Helene and then Milton. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes in. But for me, the goalie situation, honestly, guys, this sounds like it's a Canes PR answer, but I think it's the right answer. It'll sort itself out probably by the halfway point of the season of who's going to get the majority of the starts down the stretch.
Watch Mike Maniscalco tonight and the team, Bally Sports, Canes, Devils later on tonight. In terms of expectations, the Canes, they're kind of in a funny place because nationally they aren't viewed as the preseason front runners like they were a year ago. Rod Brindamore probably thinks that's a good thing. They're actually flying under the radar, it seems, in that sense. But among fans you talk to, they become fat and happy with six straight playoff appearances. There are a lot of people I know that, and we've talked about this before, where you might want to talk about Rod Brindamore and what he hasn't done versus what he has. And if you don't know who Justin Falk is, or if you don't know who like some of these guys in the mid-2000s were during a nine-year playoff drought, frankly, some of these newcomers, newcomer fans, it's hard to listen to that a little bit more. But there are some that just look at it and they'll define what this season is based on playoff appearances. It's good that you're in this place because you've made it the six straight playoffs. But what do you think is a fair way to appraise expectations?
No, it's a playoff team. And it's funny because I don't know the fans you're talking to, but I've the ones who usually reach out to me are usually the ones going, well, making the playoffs isn't good enough anymore. And I just have to remind everybody where this organization was to what they wanted to be. And last year, they got to, in the preseason, what they wanted to be, Josh. They wanted to be the team that everybody's measured by. Now, they didn't win the Stanley Cup. And somewhere in all these dusty law books, the idea of having a really great season and winning a playoff round somewhere doesn't satisfy fans. And I don't know when that happened.
But, you know, the next person who says that to you, though, I want you to ask them a question back. Ask him who Eddie Lack is. If they don't know who Eddie Lack is, I don't want to hear your opinion about how great things are over the last, because that's it. Like, people now root for the team because they're good, and now it's not good enough for you. Nine straight playoff years without, or not without the playoffs.
Nine,
I think perspective's
times.
Important.
Nine times. Nine. The thing that I bring up to that end is, look, it's what happens. Everybody gets, you go from just happy to be there to then you get spoiled. Right? You know, everybody gets spoiled at some point in time. Hell, I'm spoiled calling these games because I know what this team's going to do and how good they are. You know, you don't have to struggle through, you know, a seven-game losing streak and hope to get a point here. But no, the expectations for me, and it's funny because the national pundits, I was talking to a couple of writers nationally, and I won't drop the names on them because, you know, how it goes. I'm like, what happened for a team that you picked last year to win it all? Yes, there were some changes, some big changes. We all see that. But to go from winning it all to not making the playoffs, and as it was described to me, it's, well, they were the flavor of the week for 3 years. They didn't win it. So now we're on to the new flavor of the week. And that's kind of what happens. You're like, well, they didn't get it done, so they're not. So I warn everybody, remember the Washington Capitals. They were never going to win the Stanley Cup. And the year everybody jumped off their bandwagon, they went and won the Stanley Cup because they did things a little bit differently than what you have to do. This team is going to look and play different than what we've seen the previous four seasons. But it doesn't mean to me that they're not a playoff team. I mean, do they win the division? Probably not. I think the Rangers are going to win the division. Jersey's better. We're going to see how much better they've gotten tonight. They're still without former Hurricane and friend of all, Brett Pesce. But Stefan Nason all of a sudden is out to win the Art Ross Trophy for most points in a season with what he's had through five games for Jersey. But I just tell everybody, with this team right now this year, yeah, set the bar wherever you want, but you're never going to set the bar higher than what the guys in that room and the coaching staff does. The bar for them is to win the Stanley Cup. So, well, we'll see where it goes. But my expectations for this team is they should be a playoff team. It will be disappointing if they're not a playoff team. But I can tell everybody they will be a playoff team if they get to their game. And we've only played one game. So we'll see where it all shakes out, Josh.
Maybe I'm sensitive to this because I was there for the 9 years where they didn't make the playoffs. Oh. Yes, WD, nine times.
Yeah, yeah. Post-game
nine
show.
Nine times.
Post-game show. And on top of that, all our football teams are bad. And that's, you know, we're happy for basketball to get here and also for hockey teams that are good to follow. Mike Maniscalco's here. Let me welcome Will Dalton to the conversation. Before we get to movies, I do acknowledge I'm talking to two Yankee fans right now. Starting with Will, how comfortable are you after taking game one of the ALCS last night?
I'm not comfortable. I feel good after, you know, Soto homer, Judge homer, Stanton homer. Luke Weaver looks like the second coming of Mariano Rivera right now.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he does. Tell him, Mike.
Mike?
No, I'm not going to go that far.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy they're up 1-0, but, you know, there's there's this thing called the Mets looming in the National League. Yeah. They're like Jet fans. You know, 86, like, you know, do you even know what happened in 1986, either of you? If we add up your combined years, do we go back to 1986 with you two? Oh, see, there you go. And they had to win that wave. By the way, worst World Series I ever had to watch in my life, because no matter who won, I was going to lose, Met fans or Sox fans. That being said, I'm not comfortable. I won't be comfortable until they win the whole damn thing.
There you go.
Now on to movies. We've been on a bit of an 80s kick lately, Mike. 2 weeks ago, he watched E.T. for the first time. Last week, it was Big, from the same year in 1988, Coming to America last night. This is all progress, right? This is good.
Oh, this is good. Did you cry at E.T., Will?
It was tough. I didn't cry, but it definitely started to pull at me a little bit at the end.
They found them by the creek.
Brutal.
Just
crime scene.
A raccoon, like, feeding at him. It's terrible.
Who knew that Spielberg was that savage when you were watching?
Who knew?
So, all right, no, this is good progress. I need to rewind. Have we gone to the mid-80s in the John Hughes collection?
Let's see.
Better Off Dead with John Cusack.
Well,
no. That Steve Forbes sound means. Like, I don't know if he's seen any John Cusack movies. Like, have you seen Say Anything?
Well,
are you kidding me?
The Jukebox in the Air.
Never heard of it.
One Crazy Summer.
Well,
High Fidelity, if we're going to the 90s.
Well, yeah, no, High Fidelity, I think.
That's in the 90s. That's in the 90s. I was just thinking of John Cusack. Oh, he watched Con Air.
I did watch My Dearest Casey.
Yeah, but he had the bad wig. And what I think Say Anything is probably most important out of those. Would you say, Mike?
I would put Better Off Dead in
front
of it.
That's a better movie. That's a better movie for sure.
But as far as the zeitgeist, Say Anything is the one, because it's Ione Sky, the iconic scene. Let's face it, Peter Gabriel was a hell of a musician, but that put In Your Eyes over the top. Because at any point in any young man's life from like 1987 when it came out, 88, I'm trying to remember, around there, till like 2000. Like, you popped in Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. You were expecting magic. Like, that was what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's kind of the educational portion of this, where he's probably seen people do the jukebox over his head and not know.
There's a meme. There's a GIF. It's out there. Or GIF, whatever you want to call it. I'm not getting
it.
Even though the dude who invented it said it's GIF, but fine, whatever.
Say Anything. That goes on the poll, then. That's important.
Yeah, would we call it a rom-com? Because it's not, because it turns into a drama.
It created probably the genre, that and When Harry Met Sally. There weren't rom-coms.
We have done that.
And Frasier's dad is the dad in it as well.
Important. Watch Mike tonight. Bally Sports, Kane's taking on the Devils at Lenovo Center. You haven't slipped on the name yet, have you? That hasn't happened yet.
Only played one game, really, since it happened. And, you know, season, there were only a couple there. So, no, I'm good. I'm good with it. I did the other day addressing folks at the arena, because somebody kept talking how they made the change and kept referring to it as the old name. And I can say PNC because they still have signage and sponsorship inside.
Don't dead name the arena, Mike. Don't do it.
No. But I started to go, and you know, here in the PN, I almost put a dollar in the swear jar. So.
Yeah. We still call it Greensboro Coliseum.
That just happened like what? 4 seconds ago.
Yeah. That's what we still call it. All right, Mike. Hey,
Starts
thanks for
89,
doing this.
Buddy.
You're on the drive with Josh Grail,
WSJS. Sexual chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree? I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Randy Watson. Coming to America. Give them a sense. WD's movie for this week. Greatest Love of All.
The good stuff, right?
That is the good stuff. Excellent. The point of this segment is that you haven't seen any of the good movies. We thought about killing this segment after just 100 that we've done. It's staggering you have not seen Coming to America. It wasn't even something I considered asking you, because I just assumed everybody had seen this movie. Surely enough, you have not. I'm interested in what you thought about it. We'll get to the Tar Heels, their preseason game tonight, and the Panthers in just a little bit. But right now, it's time for At the Movies with the WD.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
What you liked, what you didn't like, best quote, Rotten Tomatoes score. Those are the categories we'll dive into. What did you like? What did you most like about Coming to America?
So it felt like a good representation. Like if somebody was like from Mars, or like in this case, if like you're just from this alter place that is nothing like America, you come and like you're just thrown into like Queens and an urban New York culture. It felt like doing a really good job of completely making it seem like you were coming from a different place, as Eddie Murphy was.
I thought you were going to say, if you came from Mars and you wanted to show somebody what Eddie Murphy is like, Eddie Murphy is, to me, I hope Eddie Murphy lives forever. I hope we never lose Eddie Murphy. But if we lose Eddie Murphy one day, this is the movie I think will be the first line in the obituary. The first movie that's mentioned. More than Beverly Hills Cop. This, to me, is the peak of Eddie Murphy. With respect to Saturday Night Live, him doing Gumby, and I forget what the name of his Mr. Rogers character was, but that's one of my favorite all-time SNL bits. Just slips my mind right now. Delirious, Beverly Hills Cop. I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan. But this, maybe even his music career, this is peak Eddie Murphy because it's the 80s. It's a massive, massive, massive comedy. And unlike Cop, he's getting to play characters where it's not just him playing Akeem. He gets to put on the makeup. And by the way, the same makeup person as the guy who did Thriller is the same guy who did the makeup for this movie. And you get Randy Watson and Sexual Chocolate. You get the guys who are at the barbershop. Like, those are my favorite scenes of this movie. The barbershop, Black Awareness Week with the pageant and all. That's my favorite stuff. And to me, this is peak Eddie Murphy. The best Eddie Murphy has to offer.
That was going to be the other thing that I mentioned that I liked about it was the fact that, and you see this, I guess, with maybe a lot of Tyler Perry movies where like he plays different characters. Or like in the show Martin Lawrence plays like a lot of different characters.
Yeah.
And you see that here, or him, like Arsenio Hall, the same thing. Like
I didn't even realize that the Reverend, until watching this time, I didn't know that the Reverend was Arsenio Hall, the guy who was introducing Randy Watson, that was talking about a girl being so hot that you wanted to sop her up with a biscuit. Like that, I didn't know that was Arsenio. Shout out again to one of the greatest makeup directors ever, one of those makeup artists. Same guy who did Thriller also doing this movie. What didn't you like about Coming to America?
I struggled to find something that I didn't care for. Like, because I found myself laughing the majority of the time.
Yeah.
I also got to hear the great voice of
James Earl Jones.
That always makes me happy.
Did you catch the Star Wars nod that they made in this movie?
Oh, what did...
There was a line that they took straight from Star Wars that they had him read a certain way. Okay, since it doesn't... This is what happens when you have the Yankees on the main screen and you're not paying full attention. There was... When he finds out what's happening with Akeem, they said that they would send somebody there to deal with it.
I'll deal with him myself.
He said, don't alert him to my presence. I shall deal with him myself. It's a nod to Star Wars.
Did you have like something that you didn't like about this movie?
Yeah. I didn't realize until this most recent watch that this movie is 2 hours long. It's 1 hour 56. That's too long.
Just under.
Yeah. Honestly, I remember them getting to New York a lot quicker. Now, I'm not saying I don't like the scenes in Zamunda. It's crazy. You see like elephants in the background, and like you have to put costumes on all 200 or 300 people that are in that scene with the wedding. It's, I get it. Like I just feel that should be shorter, and let's just get to New York quicker because that's where all the fun happens, where you get the Queens and you get to McDowell's and you have the barbershop and all the fun things. I just feel that it starts a little bit slower than I like. And I mean, that's why I told you yesterday or a couple days ago when we were in Charlotte for 9 hours or 11 hours, getting to the Panthers game 6 hours before because we thought it was a 1 o'clock kick. Hey, yeah, just throw it on. It's like an hour and a half. I assumed it was an hour and a half. No, it's 1 hour 56. It's just a little bit too long. Also, the fact they did a sequel, not a big fan of that either. Don't acknowledge it. Didn't watch it. Came out a few years ago.
I did see that.
You watched it?
No, when I was getting the movie on YouTube, I saw that there was a 2, and I didn't know that.
Best quote.
So I got 2 here. The first one is, and I didn't know that this meme comes from this movie, "Good morning, my neighbor!" You know how the rest goes. And there's that, and then, "The royal pro wrestler Val Venus is clean, your highness."
Yeah.
Very early out of the gate, we got that
I was
one.
Just about to read that line, but then I remembered the last time we read something that might be a little bit over the line. Even though this is just human anatomy.
Yes.
I get emails from people saying, my kid's in the car. So, shout out to you. We're learning our lessons this time around. I have just weird... I wrote down weird things for my best quote. Like, weird things make me laugh. I don't know why this line makes me laugh more than almost anything in the movie. "You ain't never met no Martin Luther King! You lying! Sexual chocolate!"
That one's
and then
beauty.
Just the arm movements where puts the arms out and then walks. All, isn't that kind of what the Dodgers do when they hit doubles? They do the arm to the side.
Something
and then he
like
drops
that.
The mic. Oh, I just love everything that Randy Watson does in this movie. I love the fact they went to a St. John's game. That made me smile too. Post Chris Mullin, even though the Marist team that they played, you could see a young Rick Smits out there. Shout out. What was his nickname? It was the something Dutchman. What was it? Rick Smits. See if you could look that up for me. There are just so many quotes in this movie that we could probably fill up the entire segment just doing. "But where in New York can one find a woman with grace, elegance, taste, and culture? A woman suitable for a king? Queens!"
Queens! So good.
What was Rick Smits' nickname? It's something Dutchman. Gosh, this is going to bother me. The Dunking Dutchman. There you go. The Dunking Dutchman. Making a brief appearance and coming to America. That's been at the movies.
I got to rate it.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if you can get within 5.
83.
It's 85.
Hey. The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
The preseason poll for ACC basketball is out on the women's side. 3 of the top 6 from the state of North Carolina. Notre Dame picked to win, receiving 70 of 78 first place votes. NC State 2, Duke 3, North Carolina in at number 6, right in front of Tara Vanderveer's Stanford Cardinal. How about it? Their first year in the league. Tara Vanderveer is a legend. Did she actually retire, though? Did Tara Vanderveer retire? as we're bringing in Darren Vaught to the show, we'll answer unusual questions in a bit. We have tickets to go see Little Big Town and Sugarland when that time comes. Where are you right now, Darren?
I am. It's actually a pretty great story. You see a green screen behind me. We just finished up not a long while ago, just past 5 o'clock. We finished up 6+ hours of ESPN Plus golf coverage. This was an event hosted by High Point. And although crew was out at Sedgefield Country Club, we have sort of our headquarters with monitors and whatnot. This is in the Quebane Center. And they told me prior to arranging this that it was in the special guest locker room, to which my reply was, I had no idea that existed. Who stays in the special guest locker room? So envision with me, High Point is hosting a basketball game. Red Panda is performing at halftime. This is like her space. Student concert series coming to town. Jason Derulo's here on Friday. Guess where that dude's going to be hanging out?
Jason Derulo!
In the exact same seat that I'm sitting in. Using the toilet that I used several times in commercial breaks today. Like, Jason Derulo and I are just like brushing shoulders indirectly. So yes, I'm in the Quebane Center. High Point men's basketball picked first in the preseason polls in the Big South by all but one vote. They're practicing. I can hear them squeaking around. And it's been a good day.
Darren Vaught, voice of High Point basketball, USA baseball, ACC baseball, et cetera, podcast. He's lottery boy. He's a professor at UNC Chapel Hill. He does a little bit of everything. Darren is joining us here. Tara Vandeveer did retire earlier this offseason. Kate Pay is the head coach of Stanford now, but still an iconic program. They received the first place vote, but North Carolina right in front of them in the preseason poll. So we've got to make sure we get that right. Getting to baseball. There are some who love the two LCS series that we see. There are some who are criticizing it, saying, oh, cool, you have three of the five largest payrolls in baseball that are here at this point. Yay, that's very exciting. And I'm not one of the people that are the latter, even though I hate the Yankees, because in past years we're talking about how many of the front runners usually get knocked out in the LDS round in past years in baseball. So I both hate and love October. Depends how my teams do. What's your excitement level with the two LCS series that we have? Mets, Dodgers tied at one game apiece, and the Yankees up one game to nothing after a win last night against the Guardians.
I mean, excitement level's high, right? It's tough if you don't have a vested interest in a specific team. I think it's tough not to love this collection of four teams simply because of the impact on the game, right? Like, I want the game to be seen as awesome as it is. And I don't necessarily have definable goals for that, but ratings certainly are incorporated in that. If we get a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, I think it'll be great baseball. I think the games will be awesome. But that stuff is on the outskirts of that too and matters. That's stuff that matters. If we get a Subway Series, the Yankees and the Mets, I don't think you have to live in New York to appreciate how cool that is.
So what you're saying is kick rocks, Guardians.
Yeah. I was going to get to the Guardians because they're in the midst of a 76-year World Series drought, a title drought. Like, we get to break one of the longest droughts in American professional sports if it's not one of the other three. So, like, there's something for everyone. If the Guardians beat the Yankees and make it to the World Series and you hate the Mets and you hate the Dodgers because they're popular teams and other people don't hate them, you've got someone to root for. Like, it's not missing much. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I just hate the Yankees,
I'm
man.
I'm very much picking it up.
I can't put that bias aside. I can't. But I will say this. Cleveland +145 tonight. That's all I got with Tanner Bibee on the mound.
Send me that cash out, fam.
I value large sample sizes, Darren. I value large sample sizes. Sure. I've watched a lot of baseball this year. And I'm telling you, I've been on the Guardian since the beginning of the season. I have not bailed off this train. I like Tanner Bibee. Gerrit Cole, I don't trust him this year. I haven't trusted him since coming back from injury.
He's not the same Gerrit Cole.
Cleveland's winning tonight. That's what I'm saying.
I can see that.
Jump aboard.
When was the last time? What's that stat? They've got a ridiculous stat floating around out there, and I should be more well prepared.
The Yankee pen?
Offhand. No, the Guardians bullpen. The Guardians, I don't even know when the last time they lost a game that they were leading going into the eighth was.
Yeah.
But it's like.
It's absurd because the exception, they were tied when the home run was hit in the ninth against Class A with the Tigers. You're right. It's an insane bullpen, and we did not see Gattis yesterday. We didn't see Class A, obviously. There's one more of their top-tier bullpen guys I don't think we saw either yesterday. So if Cleveland's leading this game going into the sixth, Cleveland's winning this baseball game tonight. There you go. Cleveland Yankees. Are you ready to answer unusual questions, Darren Vaught?
Always.
Let's do it.
Always.
But last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Graham.
It's okay. Gets me every single time. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm with our statistician for golf today, Harry Crowther, is a student at UNC. Appreciated that.
Oh, love it. Yeah, you could tell them that story of where that clip comes from after this gets done. In Lenovo Center, we have tickets to go see Little Big Town with special guest Sugarland next week. The building previously known as PNC Arena, Lenovo Center. 336-777-1600. All you have to do is call and give us and ask us a unusual question. Or it could be usual.
Question, really.
Yeah. That's usually how this works. If it could be sports related, usually it's more fun when it's not. Sugarland probably should be top billed on that show, honestly. Little Big Town on the pontoon, that song. My mom loves that song. But Sugarland, they have Jennifer Nettles. Dear mom and dad, please send money. I love me some Sugarland. Anyway, I have an unusual question to ask you guys.
Go ahead.
Which is kind of the point of this segment.
Yeah. You didn't even need to say that.
WD and I, we spent a lot of time with each other on Sunday.
We
showed up for the Panthers game at around 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, thinking it was a 1 o'clock kick. It's a 4:30 kick. So that was about 6 hours that we had to kill until kickoff of this game. And then we didn't get home until about 11 o'clock at night. So that just leads to the obvious place. What's the most time you've ever had to kill in a place that wasn't home? Either a layover, I won't say layover in the sense of WD because he doesn't take flights. You can count the number of flights he's taken in his life on one hand. So I guess just like the most time you've ever had to kill in a place that wasn't home.
I recently, when I was flying back from California, had an absurd layover in Nashville for no reason.
Define absurd.
6.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Tough.
Like, book the flight.
So what'd you do?
6 months ahead of time.
So what'd you do?
Nothing. Like I said on my phone. And
you didn't like walk around the airport and find like a restaurant or something? Or
yeah, like, of course, I found food probably a couple of times. I don't know. I don't know what I did. Listened to some podcasts, watched something on my phone. I spent the entirety in the airport, which is maybe my gravest mistake.
The Drive with Josh Graham podcast is usually a pretty good listen to in airports. I've heard. That's what I've heard. For me, the worst travel story I've ever had was we had an ECU women's basketball team that I was traveling with that was right on the bubble. Like one of the first four out, left out of the tournament. They were pretty good. But you're in a conference with a UConn team that had Brianna Stewart, Kalina Mosqueda-Lewis, Kia Nurse, a bunch of pros on it. And they beat the brakes off of the Pirates. They won by 49 or 51. Might have been even 58. Might have been more than that. Anyway, blew them out. So next day, we're flying out of Providence. We wake up 5:45 a.m. We get on the bus 6:15. It's a 9 a.m. flight. We had about a half hour from Storrs to get to Providence or however long it was. It was early in the morning. We're on the bus. We get there. And we board the plane. And then we're told we have to deplane because there's mechanical issues, and the mechanical issues can only be fixed by a mechanic that's flying in from Baltimore in the next couple of hours. We have a connecting flight, by the way, in Baltimore to get back to Raleigh, which then we'll have an hour and a half drive home. Okay, so we're sitting there waiting. We don't leave Connecticut until, or Providence, Rhode Island, until about 2 in the afternoon. Land in Baltimore, connecting flight 6 o'clock, get home at 8 o'clock, and then we learn that they lost all of our bags. And here's something you won't know unless you fly with a large group of people.
I was wondering where, like, you were going to have to kill time. I was wondering where that was going to come in.
Uh-huh. Large group of people. If you're in a large group where a lot of people are on the plane and in a group, here's something you might not know that is very key in this situation. You have to file every bag individually. So everybody in the travel group had to be their bag file individual. I had a lot of time to kill. So we sat there for 2.5 hours. And we left at 10:30, hour and a half drive back home, midnight. So my day started at 5:45 a.m. And during the time to kill, I listened to the same playlist I had on Amazon or whatever I had at that time a number of times. That's what I did in circa 2015.
So not to nitpick, but this sounds like a series of smaller stretches in which you had to kill time.
I'm just saying it was a hellacious day.
Yeah, I get that. That's a different question.
And I also remember, like, from that stretch of 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., which is about 5 hours, like, watching a movie and a stand-up special. I think it was, like, an Eliza Schlesinger special. I remember doing that. WD, how would you answer this question?
So, and Darren Vaught probably knows this. When I was growing up and coming up, like, in the baseball AAU travel circuit,
are you going to tell a rain delay story? Is that what you're about to do?
It could be a rain delay, but like just when you're playing in a tournament and you play like two or three games, sometimes three on the extreme, in a day, but you have to wait for games in front of you to finish. So right. Like, let's say you play a game at 11 a.m. or 10 a.m., you finish it, and then there's like two games in front of you, and you don't play again until like 5, 6, or 7 o'clock. Like, you're there, or like you go to eat to kill a little bit of time, and then it's like, well, now what? You either go back to the field and just wait, or you go somewhere around town. The moral of the story is, like, it could be an all-day event just trying to play two baseball games.
Let's go to Dave and Clemens, 336-777-1600. Dave, what's your unusual question?
What's up, boys? So my unusual question is, if I were to pay you $500,000, would you spend 1 year in jail for $500,000? Josh, you can start your year after your kid is born. I know that's a big date coming up, so you can start your year in jail right after. $500,000, are you doing it? And if not, what's the going rate for a year in jail for you?
Thank you. No, I'm not doing it. $500,000, not enough. If you said it was if it was more than a million, then I might consider it. Like, if it was 1.5 or 2, maybe. But 500,000, not enough.
I don't have the frame of reference to adequately answer this, but I, like, call me crazy. I think I'd be okay. Like, I could fashion a situation where in which I would be okay.
You'd be awful in prison, man.
No, I know I would, generally speaking, be awful in prison. I get that. Which is why I would need to scheme a little bit beforehand. And that's some nuance to this question. Like,
they're not throwing you in the Goodfellas prison where you get the nice treatments and you're just hanging out. Well, you're not a mobster. You don't have pull,
yeah,
sadly.
But if I could... See, here's
oh,
where
you're
I'm
saying with the 500,000, you can maybe...
No, I'm saying with some advance notice... I could figure out how to be whatever the equivalent to a mobster is to make sure that I'm in a good, you know.
This Breaking Bad sequel sucks.
How would I
Darren
do?
Darren is like a mobster or like a drug dealer. What would you do?
How would I do in jail?
You'd find some like muscle in the joint that like mm-hmm. Star Wars, befriend him and have him protect you.
There you go.
Oh, that's true.
He could be your Chewbacca.
So I would say... I would say raise it to a million. And kind of like with Darren, just like if I know mentally, like, okay, it's just a year. I'm going to get out after a year. This is something I'm...
My time's worth something, man. I don't know if it's worth 500K.
You know, or just work out a lot in there, read books, read and I books. Get a milli on the other
What's
end.
What's the last book you read? What's the last book you read, Will Dalton?
That's what he's saying. He can't find the time. He's working a job.
That's right. I have been a year.
He needs to go to jail to read more.
I think I read a coffee book.
What's your unusual question, Darren?
All right, seeing as how I am in the exact room that Jason Derulo is going to be like...
Jason Derulo!
In on, I think it's Friday, that concert series comes to High Point.
Hold on a sec. Jason Derulo is going to be in High Point Friday?
That's... Okay, which leads me to my question.
You and I, like, we went to a T-Pain show at the student concert and at Wake Forest. What's stopping Darren Vaught and Josh Graham from going to the Jason Derulo show at the Q?
It's a little less aligned with the bit, as I remember T-Pain was, because of our limited impressions, but, like, you're doing it now. Yay!
What's T-Pain? The question, though?
I was going to ask, was T-Pain, like, the last or only time that you went and saw a show, not necessarily because you like the music, but specifically for nostalgia's sake?
Oh.
Because I thought of this concert series with Jason Derulo. Flo Rida was here last year.
No.
And about it made me remember our T-Pain experience when we pull up to, you know, next to us in the parking lot, two busloads of students because we didn't realize it was the spring break concert series.
I went to go see the Bare Naked Ladies one time for just nostalgia's sake. Not because I was a super big Bare Naked Ladies fan, but
that's a good one.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Darren or WD?
Probably Three Doors Down.
Oh, no, apparently Three Doors Down was with Creed at Lenovo Center a few weeks ago, and that just sounds like a great twin billing.
It really does.
Give me your unusual question.
What's your most frequently used emoji?
Most frequently used.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have the technology, you could just pull up your keyboard.
The laugh emoji.
Hmm.
See, but, I'm a ha-ha guy.
Yeah, I usually am a ha-ha guy, but there's sometimes the laugh emoji. I'm very sensitive of, like, short responses might be otherwise taken as, like, maybe you're, like, upset by something.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
You don't have to respond with just ha-ha or just the emoji.
I know, but sometimes I just want to respond with a ha-ha and then just throw an emoji on there. Because what, in my mind, I'm thinking is, if I throw the emoji in there, they're not going to think I'm upset in any way and misinterpret this text.
Hold on. I've got a follow-up or sort of question within the question.
Please.
Do you use the reactions? Because there's a ha-ha reaction, and that serves the same purpose.
Wow. I have never used the reactions.
You don't... You just hold... Put your thumb on it, hold it in, ha-ha.
I'm going to have to try that.
You don't do that?
Yeah. So what's yours, if you're a ha-ha guy?
Mine's the awkward, wide smile. I use it for so much. I've been told a dozen times over that I use it incorrectly, because I'll just use it for, like, a stupid, dorky smile. But apparently that's not it. It's supposed to be, like, kind of awkward situation. I don't know. I use it for a lot, because I think it's ambiguous, and that's funny to me.
Darren Vaught, which of these movies should WD watch next week? Saturday Night Fever, Say Anything, Insidious, or Midsommar?
Oh, it's... my vote's Say Anything. You guys know I love John Cusack.
So the audience says Saturday Night Fever. Steve Forbes says Saturday Night Fever. Mike Maniscalco says Say Anything. Darren Vaught says Say Anything. What should we do? Find
Mike
out.
Can I break the tie? That's, come on.
I need to break the tie because it's 2-2 now. Find out what movie WD is going to be watching. Darren, thanks for doing this, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the golf.
You got it.